a lot of us think sales reps close deals, right? It's like the job of a sales rep is to pitch a product and to close a deal. But I would go so far as to say that champions close deals, because you can remove a sales rep from the equation and you take a very experienced, motivated champion who does their homework and they can get a deal done.
Hi, welcome to Selling to Enterprises podcast. This is Zia here and my guest today is Nate Nasrallah, the founder of Fluent.io. We spoke about the importance and relevance of champions, especially in a complex sales cycle, and how to effectively sell with them to win more deals, especially when you are not in the room. Without further ado, let's get started. Nate, it's such a pleasure to have you on the pod today. Thanks for joining.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. So Nate, for the benefit of the listeners, if you can take a minute and quickly walk us through your journey, the backstory, and what are you currently doing, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So the fun thing about building my current startup, which is called Fluent, is I would call this like the crescendo of everything that I had been doing throughout my career. So my whole career has been B2B sales. Sometimes it's building the products that we sell as a startup founder. Other times it's building teams to sell. So I've always been in and around sales in one of my first companies that I built. We built marketing and fundraising software for nonprofits. And kind of the interesting thing about selling to nonprofits is even, you know, a purchase of like, call it $5,000, that rises up many times to the board level. And so there's this whole phenomenon that I had to grow accustomed to very quickly in learning how to sell the products that we were bringing to market, which is that you're rarely in the room for when that buying decision was made. And so selling was really like teaching somebody to sell and how to communicate and articulate your value. So after that company got bought out, I was working inside of the company that bought us. It was called Network for Good. And most of the business model was built on the SMB and mid-market. There was no enterprise division. And I saw a pretty significant opportunity. I had kind of a very ambiguous role after the acquisition. We were kind of figuring out where to put me. And so I went to our CEO one day and I said, hey, I think there's a significant opportunity here. If I can go land our first enterprise customer, can we start to build out a team around this? So long story short, we did that and I went real deep into building and developing an enterprise sales process team. And fast forward, last summer, I'm working on one particular deal and just having a heck of a time trying to figure out who was involved in the deal. And so I kind of had this like aha moment of starting with a Google Doc to, in short, build out a case with my buyer using their own words so that we were starting to sell together, build out the message that she wanted to share internally. And that is what turned me on to this idea around Fluent, which I'm currently building. So it's been kind of fun to see over the last 6 months or so of building Fluent, all of the different stories, experiences, contacts, all kind of getting woven into the product that we're now building. So that's kind of the quick backstory on me.
Champions are so important to deals, right? Especially the large complex deals. You need champions within the client organization. But you know, tell us about in your experience, in your thought process, how do you identify who's your champion, or how do you once you identify, and what do you do from there on?
Mm-hmm. So I'll kind of level set on the definition of what I would call a champion, and then I'll go into like how to not only identify them but create them. When I think about a champion and kind of their role, they are in many ways the glue of the buying process, especially when you're working on some type of complex deal. Oftentimes people think about complexity in terms of like contract size. You know, I want to start selling more enterprise deals for larger contract values, but it's really the number of contacts that creates this complexity. And so the champion is the person inside the buying team who can align all of the different types of buyers, a decision maker, other stakeholders, direct users, people like procurement, legal, and so on, to keep the deal moving forward and to keep all of those different contacts aligned. And so when I think about the profile of somebody who's a really good champion, I mean, that's a hard job. Like that's a lot to coordinate and a lot to manage. So there are kind of three things that I look for in spelling out who a quality champion is going to be. So one is influence. They have to be able to maneuver internally. People have to be willing to listen to them. They have to be interested in challenging the status quo. Then in addition to that, there has to be some type of incentive, because it is a hard job and the sales cycle is long. And if this person is going to stick with it and work with you throughout that whole time, there's got to be something that's very much in it for them, not just for the company, but for them personally. So you have influence, you have incentive, and then finally information. You know, they have to know the lay of the land and, you know, I'll call it, quote, shortcuts to help move the sales cycle along. So when you find all three of those characteristics in one contact, that's the definition or the profile of a really good champion. So your other question, I think it was really good. Like, how do you find these people? It's not like they are just readily apparent. Well, in my experience, they're created, they're not found. And the reason is, let's say, you know, you can use a proxy for influence like title. You know, there's probably a good chance that an SVP has a strong level of influence in the organization, for sure. However, you may find somebody who is lower level, but willing to and very effective in using their voice to influence others, but they just haven't seen the incentive or what's in it for them. And so part of, all the way from the beginning of discovery, part of developing and creating a champion is helping to set up this whole idea of, why would they care? Why would they care about this now? Why does this affect or impact a metric or something that they're personally responsible for? So I'm happy to go deeper in there, but I would just say the shift in thinking is to go from finding a champion to creating a champion.
You know, we will keep bringing in Fluent into this, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. So how does, or where does Fluent come in? Where do you help, or how do you help?
So the whole goal of Fluent is to help you create and then enable a champion in mm-hmm. every single deal in your pipeline. Okay. And so where Fluent kind of came in to start is, first, this reality that it's tough to develop into create a champion, you know, at the outset. If you look at a typical seller's pipeline, a significant chunk or majority of the deals don't always have a champion that's even identified in the first place. And so what Fluent does first is it helps a seller develop a relationship with a buyer by creating a really solid business case using their own words, by showing them that you understand them. One of the first things as a seller that you want to be able to do is articulate the buyer's problem better than anyone. If you can articulate that problem better than anybody and in their own words, then chances are that person's going to be more interested in hearing about the solution, or they'll even assume that your solution is a better fit than somebody else's. And so what Fluent does on just like a very practical level is it captures a conversation, it converts it into content, so a written transcription, and highlights key phrases, key points that champion is sharing, and moves them into a workspace so that when you're going to follow up, let's say on a first conversation, so you finished a discovery call, you need to play back and say, hey, here's what I think I heard, the message that you're trying to share with your team around the problem you're up against, the reason why it's a priority. Can you let me know if we're on the same page here? It's the buyer's exact words, how they think about their problems, the words that they use to frame those things, what they talk about in an internal conversation that's played back and shared with them. And so that's the first piece, is how do you create just empathy and a level of understanding with that champion to say, like, oh my gosh, this person gets me. They've got to be able to help. The second piece that I was talking about, so that's creating a champion. Second piece is enabling a champion. So here's where we went real deep on some of the research and where the breakdown often happens. A lot of the make or break moments in the sales process are happening without the sales rep in the room. It's when the champion is talking to their own internal team in an internal meeting. They're discussing problems, why they're a priority, and what they want to do about it. And we give our sales reps an incredible amount of coaching, enablement, content to support them. And when you look at then what the champion often gets, typically it's one of two things that happens. Either one, at the end of a call, they'll get a stack of downloads, decks, demo recordings, and then they have to go through and hunt down all of the different, call it snippets, a sentence here or there that's actually relevant. And often what a champion told us that they're doing in the buying process is they're taking all of that and they're patching it together inside of their own internal documents that look and feel like something that they would want to present with to their team. And one, that's a lot of work. Like that is a tremendous ask for a buyer to go through the time and take on that effort in order to create something that's going to guide the message that they want to share in that internal meeting. Now, on the other hand, they just kind of go in and they wing it. Like if you don't have a committed or an experienced buyer who's willing to do that, they'll just kind of go in and wing the message. And again, if you go back to this idea of like, we build entire teams focused on sales enablement. But then you look at the champion who, you know, back to you created them, like they're excited about your product. They feel like, hey, there's something that could help me solve this problem here that matters to me. Then they've got to go do the hard work of aligning everybody internally. And they don't have a whole sales enablement team that's behind them helping them. They just have you, the seller, the enterprise sales rep who is trying to get that deal moving forward. And so when it comes to enabling the sales rep, you can take enabling the champion as a sales rep inside of Fluent, you can take the message that you were building inside of a shared workspace and then work with your champion to align different designs of your product inside of that content so that they have exactly what they need. It can look and feel and be branded exactly for them so that they don't have to take all of the time and the hard work to create the message, to create the materials that they're proud to actually share, champion, and use to guide their message during those internal meetings.
And then we were talking before we started recording, I think this will be highly relevant even when you're working with, because most of the technology deals, if they're large enough, they're usually advisors in the middle also. Mm-hmm. And the same way that you are kind of enabling the champion within an account, that this will also probably help to enable the advisor also to kind of continue with your messaging and things like that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that you are spot on. And that's part of the idea in a complex sale. There's multiple people, not just on the buyer side, but on the seller side too, if not an advisor. You know, sometimes there could be a specialist or a technical expert who needs to join. It could be a VP of sales, somebody else that is looking at the deal on your side as well. And you and your champion are selling as a team, working together to try to align everybody, an advisor or whomever else is involved in the deal.
So one common problem that we all face, Nate, is you're in this deal cycle, you're in the sales cycle, and the deal stalls, right? Things get delayed, things get pushed out. How do you, you know, what is your advice there? How do you get it moving again? And how does Fluent help with that?
So good question. Oftentimes, one of the key reasons why deals stall is because there was project risk before there was product risk. And this is the difference between a close rate and a win rate. And a lot of teams kind of blend these things together and they don't really separate them. So a close rate is the total number of opportunities that you create and the number of opportunities that you win. Win rate is the difference between a project that is late stage and you are beating out a certain competitor because they are making a purchase. Most deals are going to be lost to no decision, impacting the close rate as opposed to the win rate. And the reason is that there was immense project risk from the beginning as opposed to product risk, which is this the right solution for us to purchase? As opposed to project risk, is this problem even something that we care about and something that we should prioritize? And oftentimes it's because if you back all the way up into the early moments of the sales cycle, there was either shallow discovery or discovery that was focused only on that particular user or maybe the champion as opposed to the company. And it is often very likely that what the champion or one particular contact early in the sales cycle thought was their biggest problem, it was most painful for them, it didn't rise to the level of the company priority. And that's where if you can early on begin to dig in and figure out the costs, the consequences, the implications of a problem, and try to figure this out all the way up at a key employee or an executive level, you're going to be able to figure out, okay, can I actually keep this deal on track and moving? Or is there going to be a risk of like, hey, it just stalls and it dies out? I'm happy to go into some more examples of that. But when it comes to deals stalling out, that is often what's happening. And also happy to kind of go into some thoughts and ideas on like, okay, so what do you do about that? But that's kind of my quick take and something that I see a lot of sales teams beginning to blend as opposed to isolating and splitting out.
I would love to get into details, Nate, as to what do we do after that, right? How do we move that forward?
So let's take a practical example. So let's say you are selling marketing software and you're working with a marketing team and they are incredibly interested in, call it, your workflow for faster keyword research and content creation, right? And so you're talking on and on about why this product is going to be loved and the best fit for the marketing team. That is addressing product risk. But project risk, maybe looking at what is the CMO walking into a board meeting and talking to the board of directors about. She's probably talking about things like CAC, cost to acquire a customer, how that's going to impact growth projections, what that means for the next round of capital that they're going to go out to raise, and what they want to put into the model for VCs to take a look at. And those things are related. And it comes down to, as a sales rep, can you enable the, let's say the marketing director is the champion that you're working with. When the marketing director walks into a meeting with their CMO, are they going to be talking about keyword research and content creation, or are they going to be talking about more organic, efficient growth in order to drop CAC and make the unit economics look more attractive to outside investors? So if you can frame your message and build materials for that marketing director that speaks to and uses the exact same language that the CMO is using in that board meeting, then you're going to be able to much more effectively begin to minimize the project risk by aligning that with what the CMO cares about, is thinking about, and without leaving it to chance that the marketing director is going to think about how to frame and deliver a really just sharp and clear message in that conversation with the CMO.
Great, great. This is cool. So for Fluent, coming to Fluent, who's your competition right now, Nate?
So our competition is very fragmented. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, when you look at the way that an enterprise AE is going about their job, there's typically this gap in the sales tech landscape. You have conversation intelligence, which is focused on helping them deliver a really sharp, clear pitch in a sales meeting. You have sales enablement systems that are giving them marketing generated content, case studies, so on, that they can use to attach in a follow-up email. And if you look at the workflow for most sellers, what they're doing is they're listening back to a call recording. They're referencing notes in another system. They're downloading a PowerPoint file out of their content system, making manual edits, updates, trying to make it reflect the conversation or be more unique, custom tailored to that specific buyer. And then they're attaching it to an email and sending it off. And it's an incredible amount of work, so much so that not every AE is going to do this for every single deal. It's only a small fraction of their pipeline that they're going to invest that amount of time and effort. And the AEs who do this, like, they're incredibly effective. It is remarkable how creative a lot of the users that we've been talking with to help us design the product are getting, all the way down to like opening up a Canva subscription in order to create things that look and feel and are branded for their buyer. It's fascinating to watch. And so sales tech, I mean, it's no secret, it's a pretty crowded landscape. It's not like sellers are like, oh my gosh, I am short on tools, I need to buy some more software this week. It's rather quite the opposite. But there's this huge gap that sits in between what I'll call, you know, in terms of categories, conversation intelligence, sales enablement. And what's rising up out of that is this new category, buyer enablement. And buyer enablement is the category that we're developing in order to fill that gap for enterprise account executives, most specifically.
Great, great. And, good luck for the success in the market. Wish you all the best on that, Nate. You know, Nate, typically, one question I ask all my guests is, we all have our down days, right? Especially in sales, we face a lot of that. When you're not motivated or you're not inspired enough to get your day started. So mm-hmm. If you face a scenario where you have a down day or you're not feeling like doing any work that particular day, how do you personally tackle that, Nate? What do you do?
So there are two things. One, I think about the type of work that I'm doing. And sometimes, like, man, you can't just like psych yourself up and pull yourself out of it immediately. Mm-hmm. And ideally, it looks like you're going to do something that is totally different and outside of just jumping on another Zoom call, trying to fake a smile and go through a conversation. So what I'll do is I'll go for a run. I'll bring our dog Belle. I'll throw the ball to her in our backyard. I'll try to do something that is totally and completely different and outside of sales. And sometimes you need a just total switch of mentality and environment in order to pull yourself out of it. And so I don't try to force it. And obviously, there are some days where like you're just in the thick of it and you don't have that option. Like, you do have a row of Zoom meetings that you have to be in. And one thing that I'll do is I'll look at a folder that I have on my desktop. And it's a folder of feedback that I have from different customers, different buyers, things that they've shared with me that meant the world to me, things that they appreciated, what they enjoyed about their conversation or experience. And I'll just read through one of those and I'll smile as I read them, and I'll try to carry that into the next conversation. And the last point that I try to do here is remember that, man, the people that I'm going to talk to, they have those exact same down days as well. And sometimes everything's like not okay. And what I found is that sometimes when I step into a conversation and I'm feeling a little off, and I turn it into asking, like, what is this person feeling? Like, how has their week been going, in a very genuinely interested way? By focusing on what they're feeling, I begin to remove, because when you're not feeling great, you're having a down day, it's very easy to turn inward. And so by trying to very intentionally ask myself of like, I'm not loving how I'm feeling, how are they feeling? Focusing on them can be a great way to begin to just kind of turn my mindset back out.
So in the beginning of our conversation, Nate, you kind of, you know, laid the ground rules on who the champions are, right? Defining the champions within an account and all that. But as you and I know, right, some of the sales reps get a lot of things wrong about champions. You know, let me hear your thoughts on that. What's something that most enterprise reps get wrong about champions?
Mm-hmm. So we kind of went into the fact that they are created, not found. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I would go into is that when you find a champion, this isn't somebody that you are selling to, you're selling with them. And the reason why I say that is that when let's say you're in an internal meeting with the marketing director and the CMO, anything that you say immediately is going to be filtered through this lens of resistance of this is an outsider. And so the CMO is going to listen from a totally different starting place than if your marketing director, the champion that you're working with, says the exact same thing. Because the level of rapport and just the history there is you can't match that. It's a colleague as opposed to an outside sales rep. And so oftentimes the point of it, people will think the point of a champion is to get me into that meeting with the CMO so that I can be in the room, as opposed to I'm there to play background. I'm not the primary focus of this conversation, but when my champion hits a certain maybe question, area of product knowledge that they're not very sharp or sure on, that's where I get to step in and support them. So it goes back to the shift of selling to selling with a champion. And then the very kind of last piece that I would say is that a lot of us think sales reps close deals, right? It's like the job of a sales rep is to pitch a product and to close a deal. But I would go so far as to say that champions close deals. Because you can remove a sales rep from the equation and you take a very experienced, motivated champion who does their homework and they can get a deal done. However, you remove a champion from the deal and you just have a sales rep trying to push this forward on their own. And it's going to be an uphill battle the whole way and it's a losing recipe. So I would go so far as to say sales reps don't close deals, champions do. And your role as the sales rep is to sell with them and to enable their success. Which the beautiful thing about teamwork is that's when you win as well.
Nate, if anyone is interested and wants to know about Fluent, how do they go about it? What do they need to do?
Yeah, so the best way, if you want to check out our website, go to Fluent, Fluint.io. You can see more about the product, take a product tour, check out our blog, more content on enterprise selling there. Also, would love to connect with anybody on LinkedIn. So Nate Nasralla on LinkedIn, and would be fun to see any listeners connecting on LinkedIn too.
Fantastic. Great. So Nate, thanks again for coming on the pod. Greatly appreciate that. Thank you.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please do subscribe to the podcast and I will greatly appreciate if you can leave a review. If you have any suggestions for future guests or any feedback, please write to me at zia@sellingtoenterprises.com. See you on the next episode. Thank you.